Up next, we're going to hear about arts and events in Bemidji and Park Rapids with arts reporter Katie Carter. But first up, it's time for our Area Voices segment, telling the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. Katie talks with Bemidji artist Jeff Berger.
One thing pottery and ukuleles have in common is that part of the appeal to me is that is to bring a piece of art, for lack of better terms, into your daily life, and you can use it every day. And that's what appeals to me about ukuleles. Anybody can pick it up and learn a bunch of one-finger chords and be singing songs with their family. You know, that's cool. There are not many things you can do that with. Pottery is kind of the same because it comes into your daily life, becomes part of the fabric of every day.
Turtle River-based artist Jeff Berger has been creating functional art for nearly 50 years. A potter and luthier, his long-term relationship with clay was the result of a recommendation by his father, who was a school counselor. This recommendation would have a huge impact on Jeff's view of the educational experience and ultimately shape his life.
He said, "You're really like this teacher," and he said, "Take a class from him." And I think I was a freshman, and he was the ceramics teacher at the high school. I did like him. He was kind of different, kind of thinking in his own vein. And I took a liking to the teacher, so I liked the class, liked the clay. That's how it started. Actually, I had a really good art teacher in junior high as well, and he was very different in a lot of ways from every other faculty member. He was a really good teacher. I can remember teachers that have said negative things about my work and even about my kids' work, and I think about how negatively that affected my kids and me all these years later, 50-some years later. I remember that teacher saying, "Clouds can't be yellow." And that's like, how wrong that teacher was, first of all, and what a negative effect that had to me. So, you know, I think part of learning to like something like, in my case, art, has a lot to do with the relationship I had with the person who was teaching it. And if that was the relationship that was valuable to me, then the subject matter of the class was valuable to me as well. So, and I think that goes for a lot of things, really, in school. That's where I started. Then, like I said, my teacher in high school was really a good teacher for me. And then I went to college at Bemidji State College at that time. And I had Westy James, who was a very proficient, good ceramics teacher. I had her for a while. And then they had another teacher at the college whose name was Remus Viscirda. And he was a very good teacher, too. It's interesting, different teachers bring different things to the plate. And sometimes they're not even related. I mean, they're bringing certain skills that are really broadening to start to learn. Some teachers are really good with technical things. Some teachers are really good with the intellectual aspect of it. So that's primarily it. I went to a number of workshops, but I pretty much, everything's the hard way, although it's really interesting that you do learn things from other people that, like, just hit a chord automatically and you steal that and make it part of your repertoire.
Over the years, Jeff would hone his own skills and create his own process.
My process is pretty particular, I guess. Different potters work different ways, but I tend to spend a certain amount of time making ware, and because of the limitations on my space, I kind of have to go through things in cycles. I can't be doing everything all the time, or I don't choose to. So I'll spend a certain amount of time making work, and then I will bisque fire the work. And then I'll, because of the necessity of the limited amount of space that I have, then I'll glaze and fire. And I'm usually able to store enough work for 3 or 4 kiln loads worth of work when I'm making. So ordinarily I'll make that many pieces, which would maybe be 800 or 1,000 pieces. And then I'll start the process of glazing and firing them. The last thing on my list is to try to sell them, which is an artist's nemesis, I think, but a necessary part of the process. I mean, there probably are artists who are able to generate huge amounts of income from their art, but I don't think that's, by and large, that's not the average. Most people, I think, are, I mean, I'm taking a wild guess, but most artists, I think, struggle with it just like I do, and that's, you create lots of work, and it takes a lot of hard work to make that work, and I don't think many artists are motivated by money. I'm motivated by making this stuff. The selling it is totally secondary. Necessary, but it's totally secondary. I'm interested in the process and that how that makes me feel.
Jeff spent 4 to 5 months methodically designing the wood-fired kiln he uses today, and it is huge. He literally burns tons of wood in each firing.
I usually find affordable wood that I can put in a kiln, and it usually takes about 1.5 cords of wood to fire the kiln. Right now, I'm fortunate enough to be able to get scraps from a sawmill that I'm able to minimally process in order to fire. They need to be a certain length, and there's certain parameters in terms of how big or small it can be. So I collect the wood. I spend probably 2 days glazing for a load, probably a day loading the kiln, and then I will fire the kiln, and that takes probably around 16 hours of stoking to get the kiln up to the temperature, which is, in my case, has been running just shy of 2400 degrees. When it gets up almost to the point where I'm going to quit, I spray sodium carbonate into the atmosphere of the kiln, and that causes the pots to essentially self-glaze in areas that aren't glazed, which in my work is usually the entire outside of the pot. Usually only the inside is glazed. So it'll reach temperature and I'll spray the soda in and then I'll close it up and try to make it so that I don't have drafts blowing through the kiln. And it takes usually a minimum of 4 days to get back down to a temperature where I can open the door. And 4 days I open the door and I try to prepare myself for whatever new lessons I might be learning that day. Sometimes it's great, and other times it's a life lesson to deal with what you can't deal with.
We talked a bit about how those life lessons he's learned from being a potter have enhanced his day-to-day life.
When you open that kiln, and if everything is awry in there, and you can see that was 3 weeks worth of work or 1 week worth of work, whatever, you realize that that's a little painful and you have to accept that the things don't always go like you plan them to. And I think, you know, in my life, I think that's true. You can plan and prepare and build things so that you think that this is going to be a successful venture all you want. And in the end, it may not turn out like you planned or like you hoped, and you have to accept that that's the way it is. It's the same as opening a kiln and seeing some kind of disaster in there. You have to accept that's the way it is, and you have to let go of that at some point. And hopefully, for me, it's usually short-lived. Usually, initially, it's dread and all kinds of other emotions, and then you realize, well, I'm going to make something new tomorrow, and the same is true. With your day-to-day life, I realize every day how little I have control over some situations. And I think this is going to sound silly, but my newest methodology of living life has been to try to let people own their own behavior. And the same goes for my kiln. It's an erratic beast, and I can try to control it, but I have to let the kiln own its own behavior. And that's really important. I can deal with people much, much better if I let them own their issues, whatever they are, and accept that we've all got them.
Jeff Berger's artistic life has influenced his day-to-day existence in many ways. Over the years, his view of success has morphed and changed, along with the morphs and changes of reality.
30 years ago, I probably would have viewed success as making enough work to generate a certain amount of money. And now I don't think I'm use. I don't feel like money is in the measurement system of what I feel success is. To me now, success is every day I can come out here and feel good, for lack of a better term, good about what I'm doing, interested in what I'm doing, sometimes feeling successful at what I'm doing. That's kind of where my new measure of success is. I don't think I would have held that view years ago. I would have tied it more closely to a monetary success. And I guess really what I want is to do something that I find fulfilling. And right now that's what this is. Every decade it's different. And it has to do with partially with aging, partially with experience, which aren't necessarily correlated. I've been doing this for 48 years now. I think that's a long time. I mean, there's been times when I've been less productive and more productive, and been able to devote more and less time to it. But there must be something there. I keep thinking maybe I'll quit. But if I look at it realistically, I don't think that's going to happen until I can't do it.
And how fortunate we are that Jeff Berger continues to create his functional pottery out of his studio north of Bemidji in Turtle River Township. You can find Jeff Berger's creations at Watermark Art Center in Bemidji and also at jeffbergerclay.com.
The dream that you dare to, why, oh why, can't I ooh, 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 ooh,